talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
Found him with his face down in the pillow, with a note that said, I love her till I die. And when we buried him beneath the willow, the angel sang a whiskey lullaby. La 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 la.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was by Alison Krauss, and Alison Krauss is playing Credit One Stadium next week. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We'll be talking with Paige Bishop with Luanto Furniture, architect Joy Martin with Joy Architecture, Robin Rogers with Southeastern Galleries, J.R. Kramer with Remark Landscape Architecture, and finally, the leadership at the Charleston Home Builders Association, Adrian Kane and Quentin Bush. Have a great weekend. And now we're talking with Paige Bishop with Luanto Furniture. How are you doing, Paige?
I'm doing good, Tim. How are you doing?
Just fine. Thank you. Paige, take a moment and tell our listeners all about Luanto Furniture.
Yeah, absolutely. So Luanto is a third generation family company, and we specialize in beautiful furniture that is functional for your home, and it's going to be sustainably made with clean materials. So we specialize in pieces that you feel good about bringing into your home.
All right, great. And what kind of furniture are we talking about?
So we are best known definitely for our sleeper sofas, but it's not the classic sleeper sofa that has the bar. It's comfortable. It's a place you feel good about hosting your friends and family. And then additional storage spaces, adjustable seats and headrests, just a piece that works with your life.
Good deal. How did Luanto Furniture manage to take that bar that I remember the Seinfeld episode where Jerry visits his parents in Florida and Elaine sleeps on the pullout sofa with the bar, and she can't function because she has to lay on the floor because the experience of laying on that pullout sofa.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we've all experienced that one. So instead of having the bar and the springs that come up through the mattress, they're going to be flat individual laid springs. And then that bar, instead of being there, it's going to be a function that pulls out to just have a flat lay.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Luanto, where did that name come from?
It is the Finnish word for nature, and it's very fitting because, like I said, the company's motto is to just kind of keep everything sustainably made, do what's right. I mean, how furniture should be made. But yeah, so it's the Finnish word for nature.
I gotcha. Okay. All right, good. And talk about the quality of Luanto Furniture.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's going to be handmade, actually, through our production team. And we only use real wood, real materials. Everything is placed with intention. And it's made to last. Again, because it is a Finnish company, we have to fit those standards. And over there, they don't just throw out their sofas or their furniture after 2 years. So these are made to last with your life, be passed down, and just taking that into account.
Nice. All right, good deal. And when it comes to Luanto furniture, talk about the design program that you have for custom furniture.
Yeah, absolutely. So not only do we carry a huge selection of in-stock products that you can get, you know, within the week, but we also take it a step further that if you're a designer working with a client who wants a custom piece or you haven't found that piece for your home, you can come in and say, I want this sectional with, you know, this color of fabric, this style of arm, you know, down to the leg color, and just create your own piece from start to finish to make sure it's going to work with your life.
Oh, okay.
Rather than just being stuck with, you know, what's on the market.
Yeah. And I'm going to ask you about to take our listeners on a virtual tour of the Luanto showroom, but I did want to ask you about you know, sometimes when you order something special order, or if it's custom, there's a delay involved. Is that what people will experience if they do want to take advantage of the design program for custom furniture at Luanto?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, because you are getting a piece that is made and curated just for you. There is about a 14-week lead time, so it's nothing too crazy, but just know that in those 14 weeks, your piece is being made perfectly. It's, you know, being made intentionally for you, and then it's going to come perfect just how you imagined.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I mentioned that I was going to ask you to take our listeners on a virtual tour of the Luanto showroom. So the showroom is, the Luanto showroom is located on Clements Ferry Road. And I'm looking at your ad in Charleston Home and Design magazine, and it says that your showroom is Charleston's factory store. What does that mean?
So this is actually where we are headquartered here in the United States. So really, it's the best place to go because you will not be short of knowledge of the Luanto brand. But yeah, so our warehouse is right here in Hanahan. And then the factory store here, you know, with the offices that everyone is at.
Gotcha. So, is there a landmark that Luanto on Clements Ferry Road is nearby that people can recognize?
You know, I would say the building itself is pretty hard to miss. It's the one with the big red roof. So
okay.
Once you're driving by, it's hard to miss.
Gotcha. So people, head up to Clements Ferry Road. They look for that big red roof, and as they walk into the Luanto showroom, what will they see to their left, right, and in front of them, and so on?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you walk in, you are going to see a line of these gorgeous sofas, and then someone's going to come and meet you and show that, hey, these are actually also sleepers. So we keep our king size sleepers up front. And then as you walk into the middle, you'll see some beautiful stationary pieces kind of showing off that design essence that we are capable of having. And then we can walk through, and of course you'll see the famous bunk bed sleeper.
Oh,
that's what we get a lot. People are excited to see that one. That's going to be on your right hand side. And then we can walk back, see all of the additional storage spaces in those chaises. We kind of keep them up so you can see it without having to walk through every piece. And then queen size, cot size sleepers, full XL. You can just see the whole range of products in our showroom. And there's nowhere else that has this range.
Nice. That's so cool. And, you know, if you're going to buy a sofa, you might as well make it a sleeper sofa because, you know, even if it's in the living room, we used to have a sleeper sofa in the living room. And every now and then we have what we call a lazy day. And we're, you know, wouldn't that be nice to just pull that out and just watch TV or something like that? But right. It sounds like there's all sorts of different sizes and shapes and options for sleeper sofas at Lewanto.
Oh yeah. Different, functions. So if you want a higher headrest or a higher back, more lumbar support, that's an option. And yeah, we all do need those lazy days, and we all have unexpected guests sometimes. So if you can have a space that can fit all of that, why not have it in one?
Right. That's true. And that's so cool that Lewanto's U.S. headquarters is right here in the Charleston area. That kind of makes me proud.
I know, right? We're better.
Nice. Well, how can folks get more information about Lewanto Furniture? And Lewanto is spelled Lewonto.
Yeah, if you want to go to our website, lewantocharleston.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram at Lewanto Charleston. There's always someone around to answer a question. We're all very proud of this company, and we love to share our knowledge about it.
Well, that's great. Well, and you can always find Lewanto Furniture within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with Paige Bishop with Lewanto Furniture. Thanks so much, Paige.
Thank you so much, Tim.
And now we're talking with architect Joy Martin with Joy Architecture. How are you doing, Joy?
Hi, Tim. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Joy, can you take a moment and tell our listeners all about Joy Architecture?
Sure. Joy Architecture and Interior Design is a boutique architecture firm with two offices located in Charleston, South Carolina, and Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we focus primarily on custom residential architecture, including major renovations and additions, new home builds, and then we also do some boutique-sized commercial work and then occasionally some smaller multifamily projects. We provide architecture services and interior design.
Oh, great. Good deal. And so Joy Architecture, you have an office here in Charleston and also in Minneapolis, you mentioned?
Yes, that's right.
Do you have to travel a lot?
I don't travel as much as I thought I would when I branched out. I originally established the firm in Minneapolis and then moved back home about 3 years ago to Charleston. And so I have a nice team up in Minneapolis that kind of runs the studio there. And we do a lot of work through, virtual meetings. And then I go up there about 4 or 5 times a year for project visits and, meeting with my team in person and celebrations and things like that.
Good. Okay. Well, yeah. Well, Joy, a lot of people are not familiar with the process of working with an architect. Can you elaborate on that? What will a homeowner experience and why should they consider working with an architect on a new construction custom home project or a big remodel project?
Sure. Yeah. The idea of hiring an architect can sometimes be overwhelming for people. And a lot of times clients will think about their project for several years and then reach out to a builder that is potentially referred to them by someone who's worked with them or whose sign they've seen or work they've seen somewhere else. So oftentimes our projects will come to us through builders that we have professional relationships with. And when that happens, we meet with the clients and kind of listen to what all of their goals are for their project and, including timeline and budget, because those are really important factors in determining if a project is feasible. And then the first thing we do is really take a look at the site. And once we understand the scope of work, do a feasibility study. And especially important here in Charleston, where we've got a lot of sort of coastal properties and limitations on, flood design and wetlands proximity and things like that. So we'll do a feasibility study and see what does the authority having jurisdiction allow on their property. What is the footprint potential? What is the massing, the height of the building potential, and then kind of look at what are the neighbors potentially doing so that we can be contextually appropriate. And once we combine that information with the client's scope of work, we can put together a really detailed path forward for how much time and what the potential budget might be to achieve all of their goals. But once we do all of that, then we kind of launch into what I would consider like the standard process for designing new homes or new buildings, where we work really closely with clients in the schematic design phase. So once a client, is happy with the scope of work we've outlined together and the feasibility of their site, we'll work in schematic design to create concepts, often a couple of versions, usually three, in plan to see, what's going to be the best flow for the home, for this family or this couple that we're working with. And then we put it in front of the clients with some inspiration imagery to kind of set the tone for what the feel and look and style of the home might be. And we listen, and we spend a lot of time really just listening to feedback from the clients and taking it all in to then take another stab at revising the schematic design to more closely refine it to the client's goals and vision. So I tell clients, it's an iterative process. And if you can imagine a big spiral, a big line in a spiral shape with your, dream at the middle of it, we kind of walk the path around that spiral and get closer and closer with more detail. And each time around, we are listening to, and I tell clients, give us your unfiltered feedback. So if there's some inspiration imagery we show you that, you would never do or never pick out, then we will cross that out. And it helps us more specifically identify what makes, what kind of brings joy to the clients within their home. So that schematic design process sets the tone for the project. And then at the end of that, we connect with the builder. If they've brought their own builder to us, then we'll give the schematic package back to the builder and ask them to kind of do a ballpark estimate on, and at the end of that, the clients have what I call sort of tangible decision-making check boxes, if you will. So they usually will know, okay, they've got a feasible project with a scope that they like and a concept plan that they like. They've got a potential budget from a builder that they like, and an idea for how long the project will take and when it can start. And those pieces of information are really crucial when people are trying to finance a job, because they want to, they can literally take that information to their bank or to their mortgage broker and say, these are the criteria that we have that we're working with, and we need to start working on a loan to make this project a reality. And from that point, once the client's happy with the budget and the scope goals, then we turn those drawings into, we go through a process, a multi-phase process of turning those drawings into construction documents. And I tell them, there's basically a million and one decisions that are going to have to get made throughout that development of those drawings. And we feed those questions for them to make decisions on to them as needed. So it's not too overwhelming. And then the part of the process that we can help with in the interior design aspect is that we'll help them with selections for fixtures and finishes. And as you know, Tom, people come into this, into these projects with a variety of experiences. And sometimes they're really savvy. They've done this 5 times. They know what they like. They know what shops they want to go to pick out their different materials. And other times clients are a dual income household with young children, and they do not have time to shop for tile on the weekends because they're doing other life activities. And so depending on what needs the client has, we can kind of give them a spreadsheet to populate with their own shopping adventures, or we can show them option A, B, and C for, tiles and plumbing fixtures and flooring finishes lighting and things like that. And they can, we can have meetings with them and they can pick out. So we can kind of adjust and pivot to what scope of services the clients need. And then at the end of creating construction documents, a little bit before that, we have a building permit set that's ready to go. And the contractor takes that building permit to the city or county, depending on where the property is located. And we go through the process with the contractor to get the building permit approved. And once it's approved, we can issue drawings for construction, along with a package of specifications for fixtures and finishes. And that whole package forms the, you know, part of the contract that the clients have with the builder. Mm-hmm. And then we check in usually about every 2 weeks once projects are under construction, to help make sure that, you know, things are being built the way the clients want and the way they've been, you know, invested so much time and money to create this design.
Okay. Got a question for you.
Pretty heavy outline of what we do.
At one point, does budget come into consideration?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. So I believe in talking to clients early and often about money and timeline, because those are, you know, two things that are really important. So it's part of the intake phone call is talking about budget. And what I can do is help clients determine, you know, if their budget expectations are realistic. And, you know, people come to us with all sorts of budgets. So we are very creative in how we work with people and their dollars, and are very respectful of, you know, their hard-earned money and how we are advising them on how to spend it. So we talk about budget at the very beginning. We talk about it in schematic design. We talk about it again in the design development phase when the drawings are being refined. And I really encourage clients to pick out a builder to work with early on, because they become like a partner in the design process and in the budget expectation process.
Uh-huh. I guess what, so how do you handle, you know, when we built, when we had our house built 16 years ago, we had a wish list and we had a budget, but the architect, it was like doing a gender reveal or something. She could never tell us whether the house she designed was going to come in at budget until like the very, very end. And then it was like, oh, we can afford to build this. And I've heard stories where people have had homes designed and they never break ground because it's too expensive to build that particular designed house.
Yeah, that is a sort of an old-fashioned way of architecture and contractor relationships happening. And I had always felt like, prior to starting my own firm, I'd always felt like that was kind of an unfair use of the client's money, because, you know, they're paying us a lot to design something, especially expensive if it never gets built. So I had a brief stint in my career for about 2 years where I worked in a design build company. And, you know, in design build, the architect and designers are under one roof with the contractor. And so if the builder can't build it, the whole company is suffering. And so we were very like budget aware throughout the whole process. And that was the first time. And I had that experience after working in architecture for 17 years and almost 17 years at that point. And it was a huge revelation, because I thought, well, why aren't we doing this as normal standard practice for architecture? So when I started my firm, I just kind of operated in that way. So we really try and bring that builder in very early, so that, because I can give clients a gut check on budget, but I am not, you know, pencil to paper cost estimating. That is just not part of my, you know, training or skill set. So I lean on the builders early on to say, oh yeah, that's a realistic, you know, we can do that scope of work for that price. Or they'll tell us sometimes, like, you know, it would be great if they had $100,000 more in that budget, and then we could really get everything on their wish list. So I'll do a gut check at the beginning, and then often if it's like on the fence, I'll call one of my builders that I love working with and run it by them and see, like, you know, if the expectations for budget and scope are realistic. So I think it's my job as an architect to kind of protect my client's investment and make sure that whatever they spend with me, we are going to build.
Gotcha. So yeah. when the homeowner brings you their wish list and for their dream home, and then they tell you their budget, you're able to give them an idea of whether this is going to fly or not.
Yes. Gotcha. For sure.
Okay.
And if I'm not sure, I will connect with a builder and have them review it so that I've got someone who's, you know, boots on the ground with cost estimating, looking at the scope.
Gotcha. Well, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. Well, good deal. Well, how can folks get in touch with Joy Architecture?
Yeah. So we are online at joyarchitecture.com. We're on Instagram at Joy Architecture, and our phone number for both studios is 612-616-9472. And you can shoot me an email at joy@joyarchitecture.com.
And you can always find Joy Architecture within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. We've been talking with architect Joy Martin with Joy Architecture. Thanks so much, Joy.
Thanks, Tim. Have a great day.
And now we're talking with Robin Rogers with Southeastern Galleries. How are you doing, Robin?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Robin, take a moment and tell our listeners all about Southeastern Galleries.
I have shopped at Southeastern Galleries as an outside designer for over 25 years. I always found the people there to be friendly, very well educated as interior designers. And so when I decided to slow down a little bit with my business, I decided that Southeastern was the very best place, very best fit for me, wanting to continue to design for people in the Lowcountry.
That's great. So, Robin, you are an interior designer, and you practice interior design for 40 years before joining Southeastern Galleries?
I did. It's hard to believe the time has flown by, but I have worked in many different areas, but I find that Charleston is such a wonderful market, and plan to continue for a few more years.
Well, what made you decide to join Southeastern Galleries versus maybe another, you know, home furnishing company that you may have worked with over the years?
Just having visited there so many times with clients, I knew that the designers were like me. They were very focused on complete packages with interior design, and I knew that that was where I would fit best. And sorry about my dog barking.
Oh, you're fine. Well, that's great. And so today, how do you help homeowners at Southeastern Galleries?
In pretty much the same way I always have. I don't focus on too much construction like I used to, but I definitely love doing floor plans, furniture layouts. I like big projects as much as small projects, and like to design with a client in mind so that they get their look, not mine. That's what I've always done, and I'm sticking to it, and just in whatever way they need help, honestly.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. The vast majority of people have never worked with an interior designer, and so I think that they may have some preconceived notions that maybe are not true. They may think that, you know, an interior designer is going to kind of talk down to them. They might, you know, feel make them feel funny if the homeowner wants to integrate some of their existing pieces into the room design. They might feel as though an interior designer is going to push what their style is versus trying to find out what the homeowners ultimately are looking for. And then there's the cost. They don't really know. Everybody may charge differently as far as interior design services, so they're not really sure. Is they're going to be embarrassed if it's too expensive or whatever. So how do you operate that is different from what I just mentioned?
I think what I do is I put myself in the client's place. That's what I've always done. When I'm pricing something out, I try to think if I think it's the fair price or the right direction. But the great thing about Southeastern Galleries is that as long as you're purchasing through us, we will do design work for you for free, which is amazing. And we discount everything 30%. So we're already not retail. So it's honestly a win-win for a client to walk into Southeastern and choose one of the designers. We have, I believe, a website where you can read about us and look at a little bit of our work. And I think that's good, too, because a homeowner can choose. I think we all make a homeowner feel really comfortable. So many of my clients are my friends. Some are my best friends because we work so closely together.
That's great. So a homeowner that works with Southeastern Galleries in general, or you, Robin Rogers in particular, you're not going to push your style on the homeowner then?
Absolutely not. I enjoy different. I love different design styles, different looks, and I don't like to do the same thing more than once. So it's so easy for me to just kind of listen and understand what they're looking for. And you mentioned earlier incorporating pieces that a client has had before. I love that because that shows me what matters to them. A lot of times it's family pieces that are meaningful, artwork that they have selected. That makes it so much better for me because their home becomes personal. And that's what it's all about.
That's great. What kinds of styles of furnishings will someone find at Southeastern Galleries?
I feel like we have a little bit of everything. We are, you know, an upscale furniture store. We are offering quality. A lot of our furniture comes, is built in North Carolina or in the U.S., which matters nowadays.
No tariffs.
We have contemporary, we have, you know, very traditional, and we have transitional furniture. So I think we pretty much cover it.
And what I've always found interesting at Southeastern Galleries is you folks help homeowners with not just the furniture, but floor covering. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. We have an amazing floor covering department, meaning carpet and bound rugs, you know, like seagrass rugs and Wilton rugs and that sort of thing. But we have a gentleman who works in that department, Joe Myers, who has been with Southeastern for many, many years. And I'm like, as a designer, I take my client in to Joe. Joe and I help that client find what they're looking for because that type rug is Joe's expertise, which is amazing. So I rely on him to help my client. And then we also sell amazing lines of Oriental carpets, which I didn't really realize Southeastern did that before I started working there so much. But I find gorgeous rugs to show my clients.
That's great. And even wall covering, right? Wallpaper and so forth?
Oh, yeah. Yes. And also, in addition to wall covering, we have lots of fabric lines, like if you want to recover a sofa, if you need to do window treatments, we can completely handle that. We have workrooms, wallpaper installers, painters. We pretty much, you know, want to help a client with all aspects of designing or redesigning their home.
I bet your customers love that.
Well, it's helpful. You don't want to have to go to too many places, more than one, really. So we can help you with pretty much everything you need.
And you've probably heard this before. I've always heard that the value of working with an interior designer is they have a they can pull it all together. And you know, a homeowner may have different tastes, and they might like the look of a barn door, and then they might want more modern furnishings, for example, and you as an interior designer can help guide that homeowner to make sure that they're not going to make any mistakes, which can be expensive.
Agree with that. There's so many things that you can help with. Say if they look at a little tiny swatch of a fabric, they might think they're going to love it. But an interior designer knows, maybe let's order a yard or two of that fabric and let's look at it before we put it on that sofa, because it has a really large, bold pattern. So I think designers, as anybody else, learn by mistakes. So we've made a lot of them in our past. And so we apply all of that knowledge to helping clients.
Well, that's great. Well, how can folks get in touch with you in particular and Southeastern Galleries as well?
Well, let's see. The Southeastern Galleries phone number is 843-556-4663. I think that's the best place to call for one of us. Mm-hmm. Or just come by the store. I think coming in is a great way to decide if it's a good match for someone.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And Southeastern Galleries is located in West Ashley, right up Ashley River Road, right?
Yes, 1885 Ashley River Road. Right off San Rittenberg, actually.
Right off of San Rittenberg. So you're mm-hmm. you're probably going to be out visiting some different showrooms if you're building a custom home or you are have a big remodel project. And so Southeastern Galleries is very convenient there. And you can always find Southeastern Galleries within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. We've been talking with interior designer Robin Rogers with Southeastern Galleries. Thanks so much, Robin.
Thank you so much, Tim.
And now we're talking with landscape architect J.R. Kramer with Remark Landscape Architecture. How you doing, J.R.?
Doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Good. J.R., take a moment and tell our listeners all about Remark Landscape Architecture.
Yeah, Remark, we were founded in 2007, so we're having our 18th birthday this week. It kind of came up on us fast. It's like we're an adult now. It's like we're just now growing up.
Right. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And so we do residential and commercial projects throughout the region, from Savannah, Georgia, to Charlotte, North Carolina. And then we also have a team member, so we're doing work in Memphis, Tennessee as well.
Very good. Very good. So 18 years, what would you say your secret to success has been?
I think just continue always to innovate and remember our clients come first. We're always having to cast that vision for our clients, not having an ego, but just really listening to the clients and just doing excellent service, excellent design, and always just keeping the customer top of mind. That's really important.
Keeping the customer what?
Top of mind.
Top of mind.
We're always having to think that, you know, because if we don't have great customers, we're not going to have referrals, you know, and it's just, we get so many referrals from architects and past clients. So it's really important just do great work all the time.
Right. Well, that is a sign in itself that you're getting so many referrals from your previous customers, because it usually, you know, you love your contractor on the beginning of the project, but you're ready to you know, say goodbye by the end of the project. And if you've managed to keep your customers happy over the years, and they're telling their friends breathlessly, you got to use Remark Landscape Architecture. They're great. You know, you've got a lot of salespeople out there for your firm.
Yeah, no, that's very true. You know, and over the last really 19 months, I've really focused a lot on our business, on the business I've been working on our business, and so we've really created a lot of out of that. We've created a lot of processes. You know. Now we have client onboarding, we close out project. It's just, again, it's just a way to make a really excellent experience. You know, we're all humans. There's always some things can happen. You know, we're not perfect, but we always, if something does happen, we always make it right.
Right. So tell me about the Remark Landscape Architecture. You folks, it's a husband wife team, right?
Yeah. So we founded a Remark in 2007. With Holly and I, and now her focus is on raising our family and running our household. And so I'm pretty much the managing partner of the company. And as of today, like we mentioned, we're 18 years old and we have a team of 10 people. So we have a full-time office manager. I'm the managing principal, casting the vision and leadership of the company. And then we have 8 designers and landscape architects on our team.
Mm, gotcha. But when you started out, it was just you and your wife.
Yes, yeah, so we actually, I was just taking some notes yesterday since we were celebrating our 18th anniversary as a business. I took some notes. So we started Remark out in the spare bedroom of our house. You know, we had a small child at the time. Then we had a second child on the way. So I moved above the garage. You know, 2011. Well, then we went through the Great Recession, 2008, and you know, everyone remembers that, those hard times. 2011, hired our first employee, and then fast forward, we had COVID, and here we are today, it's still around with a team of 10.
Oh, that's great.
We've 10x'd in 18 years, so but hopefully we can 10x again in a couple years.
Right. And talk about some of the commercial projects. You've done a lot of work, right, in the Upper Peninsula of downtown Charleston. I always bring that up, but the Pacific Crate.
Yeah, Pacific Box and Crate.
Box and Crate. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, all half mile north. A great project on Morrison Drive, the Morris. That was more of a recent project. And then hopefully, knock on wood, we'll be getting another big project on Morrison Drive here soon. So, it's fun to be able to sit there and give back that public realm with high quality design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are all high profile projects. People, thousands of cars drive by these every single day and they see the Remark Landscape Architecture work. And then I'm sure there's lots of other commercial projects, but then there's also a lot of residential project. What percent of your business would you say is commercial versus residential?
Right now it's about 50-50. Mm-hmm. And we've also done a lot of multifamily in the area, some really nice projects like going out to Sullivan's Island, the Atlantic Beach House. That's a really nice project we're proud of. And then on Charleston Steel site here in Upper Peninsula, we did 2 projects there. So it's really nice because they're very unique and innovative. And so it's just people living. There's a lot of people live in those apartments. And so I feel like we're kind of, you know, touching their lives every day with something unique.
Yeah.
That it's not typical.
Yeah, it's possible to impact these people's lives with just the beauty of the landscape architecture that Remark has installed.
And even from the very beginning, we've always just thought, you know, what we want to do as designers is be able to sit there and make people's lives better, happier. You know, whether it's they see something looming, put a smile on their face, whether it's a, you know, a gas station, a Bojangles, a multifamily, a commercial project, someone's backyard where they're creating memories for a lifetime. That's just, that's all really important to us.
Yeah. When it comes to the residential end, certain neighborhoods, if you're building a home, they require you to hire a landscape architect to create a plan. And why have these neighborhoods come to the point where they recognize we need to have our residents hire a landscape architect versus, you know, a landscape designer, or, you know, just somebody who's pulling a trailer?
Yeah, I think they understand the value that landscape architecture brings. Because number one is, like, we understand drainage. We understand architecture. We are typically horticulture. So we kind of bring everything together. And so that's important. And also, I think, you know, I think ASLA did a study a few years ago. If you have a really nice landscape architecture plan and implement it, that can add 10 to 20% value to your home.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
When it comes to hiring a landscape architect, at what point should they get in touch with Remark Landscape Architecture?
Well, if you ask me, it's like as soon as possible. We're very collaborative, but we love site planning. We love working with the architect, trying to figure out where is the best spot on a house if it's a large lot. Or we also do feasibility, like make sure we know where all the setbacks are. But, you know, just we like to be in as soon as possible. Yeah. Just that way we can set expectations, be part of the team from the very start.
Right. And is there any kind of a formula for how much people should be setting aside for a landscape architect plus a, you know, the installation of all the plantings and so forth, and the hardscapes?
It ranges depending on, of course, if you have the size of the lot, the property, you know. A good range has always been like 5 to 12%.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And you can, Remark Landscape Architecture, you folks can help people not just in the Charleston area, but all the way south to Buford, and you mentioned Savannah.
Yeah, Savannah. We're doing some work down in Georgia, so that's Savannah area, Richmond Hill, Georgia, all the way to Charlotte, North Carolina, to the coast, even Raleigh, and then we have a team member working in Memphis, so we'll do work in Tennessee and that surrounding area.
And I haven't been on the Remark Landscape Architecture website recently, but do you still have those different packages that?
We're just rolling out a new website, and it's going to be a work in progress over the next few months. So we don't have those listed now, but we have 4-tier packages that we typically offer. We have design, design plus, design premium, and design build for our clients. So that way, we can help people at all different levels of
gotcha.
Their needs.
Well, that's great. Well, how can folks get in touch with Remark Landscape Architecture?
Yeah, the best way to go is to go to our website, remarkstudiollc.com.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And
or they can find us in your magazine. Charleston.
That's right. I was just going to say, you can always find Remark Landscape Architecture within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with landscape architect J.R. Kramer with Remark Landscape Architecture. Thanks so much, JR.
Thank you, Tim.
And now we're talking with Adrian Kane and Quentin Bush from the Charleston Home Builders Association. How are you gentlemen doing?
Doing great. Thank you so much.
Good.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. You bet. Well, I wanted to invite you in to talk about the new Home Builders Association magazine that you can pick up in just about any home related showroom throughout the Charleston area. So, but before we do that, Adrian, can you take a moment and tell our listeners all about the Charleston Home Builders Association?
Yeah, the Charleston Home Builders Association represents builders and those that support the industry across the 4-county region of Charleston, Berkeley, Dorchester, and Colleton counties. We really build the American dream of homeownership, and our builders and those that support them are spread across the region, building everything from the remodeled kitchen to the 4,000 square foot home on Daniel Island and beyond. And we pride ourselves on the craftsmanship that goes into a home. And the association acts as the primary advocate for the housing industry. And so that's our role, is to advocate, to champion, to sometimes help reduce regulation or understand new regulations coming forward for our builders. That's the work we do.
Gotcha. So the Home Builders Association is an advocate for the home building industry. And is there anything in particular that you'd like to share with our listeners that the HBA has helped advocate for that benefits the public?
Yeah. So if you think about it, we are blessed with an incredibly special place we all live and call home. The Charleston region has had a thriving economy. We benefited from everything from the Boeings, the Mercedes, to the Bosch, you could name the economic development project. With that has come an incredible pressure also then on housing. We need 61,000 housing units today just to sort of meet equilibrium in our market. And that comes with pressure. That comes with, how do we grow in the right way? How do we adapt our neighborhoods? How do we continue to develop new neighborhoods? And so really what we have tried to do is work proactively and in partnership with our elected officials so that they can take out to their constituents that our region is growing. And stopping growth is not an option, but how we manage it, how we do it together, how we do it collaboratively is important. Mm-hmm. The association has prided itself on working with our engineers and our scientific community so that we are able to build resilient structures, knowing that we live in a coastal plain. We live in places that have incredible vistas and incredible water resources, but with it comes something to manage. And so our role is really to bring fact-based knowledge to decision-making at the policy level. Mm. We recently worked with Dorchester County on a new ordinance up there to really provide better clarity for how builders can build in the floodplain. Living in the floodplain is part of the reality for us here in the Lowcountry. It's how we build in a way that's resilient that's important.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, good deal. Well, Quentin, tell our listeners about your role with the Charleston Home Builders Association.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again so much for having us. So my role is that I operate all of our day-to-day operations. So from all of our events to all of our membership recruitment and retention strategy, that all falls to me, making sure that we have a dynamic set of continuing education opportunities to networking opportunities. It's all part of the development process for all of our younger builders as well, making sure that we have a diverse set of councils as well that allows our growing membership to continue being involved and making sure that there is still a strong sense of community instilled in our general membership.
Gotcha. Well, good deal. Well, the new Charleston Home Builders Association magazine is out, and tell our listeners all about it.
Well, first and foremost, you're going to see some stunning images of backyards and outdoor living. Because of our unique region, it provides us the opportunity to really have a 12-month outside living opportunity. You're going to see vendors like Aquatica with some of the pool structures they built across the region. We also are going to expose our readers to our trade partners. We have an electrician, Wando, builders and electricians, where we talk about how to hire trade partners and what goes into that decision-making process. So we wanted to take a set of stories that allow us to weave together all the pieces that affect the building community. We also had a very prominent builder pass away this last year, Ryan Butler. Mm. And there's a story about Ryan and his family and his dedication to the built community and a scholarship fund that was established as part of it. And so this magazine touches some emotional aspects. It touches some beautiful vistas in terms of homes. And so we're really proud that this piece is out with the public. We want them to use this as a resource and highlighting the best of what our industry does as, mm-hmm. as a region.
Well, that's great. We have a lot of building professionals who listen to the radio show. What kind of message would you have for them that some of those may not be Home Builder Association members?
We're going to work every day for them, whether they're a member or not. And maybe that's a bad way to say it, because we want everyone to be a member if they're in the building community. But our job is to be their champion, their advocate, to sometimes stand in front of regulation when it doesn't make sense or is unfair. We're going to be that organization that's going to go to the elected official, that's going to have those conversations, that's going to chew into the issue to understand, that's going to bring science and engineers to the table when sometimes policymakers don't go through the process to do that. Sometimes it's not out of maliciousness on the part part of the policymakers, but it's really because they have a set of pressures they're dealing with. And so we really pride ourselves on being that champion for our builders. And I would invite everyone, the association that is today is not the association that was there 5 years ago. We're active. We have 1,000 members. We thrive in terms of our connectivity. Quentin's done a great job of building culture among our membership. And that's really what we pride ourselves on.
That's great. That's great. And if we have building professionals listening, if you're not a member, you should be a member, because there's a lot of networking that goes on that they can benefit from.
Absolutely. We really take pride in... There are the fun things, right? There are the sporting clay shoots and the golf tournaments and the networking opportunities you mentioned. But there's also opportunities to just be with your peers, where it's builder-only events, where they come together to talk about the pressure, sometimes with an elected official, around a specific topic or around something that's creating a challenge. And those are rooms you don't get into unless you're a member of the association. And we pride ourselves on providing those safe places where, you know, vendors have a role to play, salespeople have a role to play, but oftentimes you want to talk to your peers, and there's a lot to be learned from that interaction. And so that's really what the Home Builders Association prides itself on.
Well, that's great. I'll share a quick story with you. I was at an HBA meeting, and I guess this would be 2007 or 2008, but it was during that time that Charleston and the nation was experiencing they call it the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. And a lot of builders didn't have enough work to keep their people busy. And at that particular meeting, they announced that Boeing was coming to Charleston. Mm-hmm. And the place erupted. There was just so much cheering, and everyone knew that, okay, we have a future. It's going to be okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Charleston region, Boeing is a great example of what we have been able to achieve because we've had a very strategic view on how we recruit businesses to our region. And you could then list a number of others, from the Bosch, the Mercedes, to the data centers, to Google, to all the others now, that really create a unique region. There's not a region in our country that's been able to have the type of economic development that we've been able to have in our region. And that's really because we live in a special place. It comes with the pressure. And now our builders are working through how we balance a thriving community, a growing community, with this quality of life that keeps us all here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Well, how can folks get more information about the Charleston Home Builders Association?
We're on all the websites. As you mentioned earlier, we're on newsstands across the region and showrooms and others. We encourage you to pick up the magazine, reach out to us, and check us out on social media as well. But we're a place that wants to build a large tent where everyone can find a place to thrive and network with their peers and their colleagues. And if you're a client looking for a prospective builder, we want to be that resource. We can recommend, if you're looking in a specific area, we can give you the list of builders that we know build in that area. So we want to be a resource across the board for how our region continues to grow in the housing market.
Well, that's great. Well, we've been talking with Adrian Kane and Quentin Bush with the Charleston Home Builders Association. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show, or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.